I began with the verse that you see there on the screen. Where in the Lord's message to the church in Philadelphia says, "Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut." An open door. So for this hour, I want to talk about open doors for just a few moments. It's been good to be with you today. I always enjoy our time together. I remember years ago, I guess it would have been probably in the 90s, there was a poster in the student center of the college campus in Florida. And it was right next to the room I had as my office. And it was one of these large posters, and it was called The Doors of Temple Terrace. And Temple Terrace is a beautiful city with a lot of old vintage homes, a lot of the Mediterranean, Spanish Mediterranean style. And so there must have been 40 or 50 doors. It's all lined up across all these different doors. And I just look at that and it was amazed at these doors. They're just beautiful. And, of course, I wonder, which house they belong to. I tried to guess if I'd seen any of them driving around through the neighborhoods. But it was also interesting to me to imagine what might be on the other side. The thing about doors is, when you think about them in one way, is what they represent and the opportunities that they afford. And often we use that expression of doors to depict the idea of opportunities. We have a lot of that in the Scripture. There are a lot of references in the Word of God, especially in the New Testament, where the writers talk about doors that God has opened, doors of opportunity. And God has filled our lives with opportunities. Sometimes the Bible refers to these as open doors, opportunities. And, I don't know about you, but I've had many doors open to me in my life. Opportunities that I'll always be grateful for. And you have too. We are where we are. But Paul says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And I think that's true to a great degree of all of us. Going to our earlier lesson, God has provided. God provides all things. And among the things that He provides are open doors, opportunities. And opportunities are the kind of thing, though, that it's up to us what we shall do with them. Some of our opportunities are this result of choices that we make. A wise man by the name of Francis Bacon once said that a wise person will make more opportunities than he finds. And that's true. Opportunities, sometimes we create opportunities because we are looking. We are doing the things that are necessary to give us a leg up. Other opportunities, however, come to us through ways that are unforeseen and unplanned. You've heard the word serendipity. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's just chance. Man, I sure am lucky. Well, maybe it's not luck. Maybe it's divine providence. Because a lot of the things, certainly, we're thrust into situations that present their own unique opportunities. But we know as believers in God that many of these are of the Lord's doing. But the thing about opportunities is that they require our attention. We have to be attentive for them to be truly useful. Because the old saying is, opportunity only knocks once. And that doesn't mean there won't be other opportunities, but there won't be the same opportunity. Today's opportunities, the ones that we have today, are unique to today. We'll never have the same ones again. Now, there's an old story, kind of a parable that's been told and used many times, usually to illustrate the idea of the importance of seizing the opportunities that come our way. The story is about a teacher who gives a student an assignment. And he says, "I want you to go through this cornfield. And you're going to walk from one side of the cornfield to the other side of the cornfield. And here are the rules. You have to walk straight through. And you're going to pick the one single biggest ear of corn that you can. You can only come out with one. And you cannot turn back." And so the student goes his way and he starts out empty-handed. And pretty soon he starts seeing some pretty nice ears of corn. But he says, "Maybe I'll get a bigger one." Keeps going, always saying, "Well, maybe I'll get a bigger one." until pretty soon he's near the edge. He knows he's almost out of there, so he grabs the quickest one he can find and gets out. And he realizes then that he's missed the best opportunities because he didn't take them when they were available. That story has been used in chapel talks and other situations to really emphasize the point that ought to be obvious to us, and that is that opportunities have to be taken advantage of, and they will go away from us as quickly as they appeared. But I just want us to think a little bit about this subject of open doors and consider what doors God has opened to us and what we can learn, some things the Bible says about these doors of opportunity. We have doors of opportunity, and Paul talks about this in Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. He exhorts the brethren there. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned. It's interesting to think that when Paul writes this letter to the Colossians, he is a prisoner in Rome. It was the same imprisonment during which he wrote Ephesians and Philippians and Philemon. And yet he's talking about opportunities. He writes to the Colossians and he says, I want you to keep praying for me. Pray for us that God will open up to us a door for the word and opportunities for the gospel to be preached and for it to be heard. And that's true, isn't it? We call upon the Lord because we believe that God, one of the things he can provide for us are these opportunities. When Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, he records there that he had found an opportunity while he was in Troas, so he goes to Macedonia. He says, a door was opened for me in the Lord. It was an opportunity to go into Macedonia once again. And so here in the book of Revelation, this church in Philadelphia had been given an open door, he says, that no one is able to shut. Jesus writes this to the church in Philadelphia. By the way, of all the letters to the seven churches, the church in Philadelphia is the only one that the Lord didn't have anything negative to say about. It was all good. It wasn't true of the others. So it says a lot about this church. We don't know anything else about them. But he says, you've been given an open door. And he says, because they had power over their adversaries because of their faith in the word. So you see, sometimes opportunities come because we have our priorities right. In this case, because their faith was in God and his word, the Lord says, you've been given an open door. You've been given an opportunity here. And so he's encouraging them to take advantage of that opportunity. And the same is true with us. I said, you know, we all have opportunities that have been given to us, too many to count. That is so true. When Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, do what we can. And that's so true, isn't it? There's so many opportunities to do good. So many needs are out there all around us. John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. I like that. I think we get the point, don't we? Our life is short. We have a limited amount of time here. But the Apostle Paul teaches that we should redeem the time, make the most of the opportunities, because the days are evil. So use our opportunities. Use our talents. Don't be like those who went and buried his talent because he was ashamed of it. Be like those who use the talents and the resources that God has provided. And especially to look for those opportunities to share the Lord, to share the message of the gospel with those who come in contact with. There are opportunities everywhere we look. And so many times we either don't recognize the opportunity, or we like the student going through the cornfield and say, well, a better opportunity will come up later. We need to take advantage of all of those opportunities. And we know that's true. But I want to talk a minute about something else the Bible says about doors and opportunities, and that is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, and that is that acknowledging the fact that we face temptations, he says that God will provide a way of escape. He says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. So don't feel alone or unique when you face temptation. We all face temptation. But he says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you'll be able to endure it. Now we know the Bible says that God does not tempt anyone. James 1 verse 13, we learn that. God's not the author of temptation. He's not the author of sin in any form or fashion. But he does not prevent temptation. Temptations and trials of life are things that happen to us, partly because the evil one is out there wanting to lead us astray, but also the Bible teaches us that these are opportunities for us to grow, to develop more endurance and patience, and to rely upon the Lord. And so he makes the promise here that he says, I'm not going to promise you that you're not going to be tempted, but I am going to promise you that God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to resist. He will always provide another door. So you think about temptation. Every temptation, there's not one door, there's at least two. There's the one door that the devil wants you to open up and walk through, to go down this path, to go the way he's saying you should go, to follow the false promises that it offers. And of course, it's a pathway that will lead to destruction. The other door is the way of escape. Some have referred to it, well, it's an escape hatch. And with every temptation, there's a way of escape. You'll be able to endure it, he says. That's a promise. Isn't it wonderful that there's always a way out of every difficult moral situation that we find ourselves in? And realizing that, it ought to give us an advantage over the tempter. We know. The Lord has said, always look for an option. You always have a choice. There's always a different direction you can go, rather than to follow the allurements that are placed in front of you. And so we need the wisdom to see it. We need the wisdom to see that other door, to see that way of escape. But more than wisdom, we need to have the courage to use it, to go that way, to resist the temptation. We can do it. The Bible says that we can, because the Lord provides an opportunity for us to do what's right every time the devil is trying to get us to do what is wrong. It's a challenge. It's an ongoing battle. From the beginning of life to the very end, it's going to be that way. It's a daily battle, daily struggle in our walk. But the Lord is always there. That's something he provides for us, isn't it? But then, the Lord has provided an open door of salvation. Jesus specifically has provided an open door to his heavenly Father. The Bible says that Christ is the only way. In John chapter 14, Jesus was about to go to prepare a place for his disciples, he says. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, some versions say, dwelling places, others say. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you can be also. And so this is in his Father's house. Jesus is promising his disciples, not long before his death on the cross, that he was going away to prepare a place in his Father's house, a place for his disciples. Well, one of the disciples, Thomas, speaks up and says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Where is this place? And how do we get there? That's kind of the implication of it. And so Jesus' answer is, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's an amazing claim, isn't it? But Jesus says, you want to know the way to this mansion in the sky? You want to know the way to be with the Father eternally? I'm the way. So we follow Jesus and we walk with him. Another place where Jesus speaks that way is in John chapter 10. And he says, I am the door of the sheepfold. He gives this analogy here of that would be familiar to people living in day and time, especially people that were shepherds, sheep herders. And the sheepfold would be kind of an enclosure, usually made of stone or something, with a little small walled enclosure where the sheep could be brought inside. But it had an opening where they would go in and come out. And the door then to that opening to keep them in was the shepherd. And so that's where he would spend the night usually. He would stay right there and keep them in. But he's also the one to lead them out. He would lead them in when it's time to go in. He would lead them out when it's time to come out. And so kind of having that in mind, I think we understand when Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." I am the door, he says in John 10, verse 7. I am the door. And he says, if anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So in the illustration here, those who follow Jesus are the sheep. We're his flock. And he's the good shepherd. So in one part of that passage, he says, I'm the good shepherd. Then he switches to another analogy and says, I'm the door of the sheep. Because they're one and the same, aren't they? And he says, that's how you're going to find salvation. That's how you're going to be taken care of. The Apostle Paul puts it a different way in Romans 5, 1 and 2. When he says there that through our faith in Jesus Christ, through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have our access into grace. Some versions say our introduction. Others say access. We have our access into grace. That is, there's a door there. So it says, through faith in Jesus Christ, he says, we have our access into this grace in which we stand. So he says, because of that, we exult in hope of the glory of God. We have hope. We have hope of the glory to come because the Lord has provided a way to God, an open door, access into grace. Another way to put it is, he has provided an opportunity for us to find forgiveness of our sins. You remember what he said to Peter there at Caesarea Philippi? And Peter says, the question was, who do men say that I am? Peter said, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of John. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed this to you. And he says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And then he says, I will give to you the keys to the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, power to open and shut. There's a door involved in that, isn't it? And this idea of a door that we're talking about, that's implied. There is an opening. There is access to the kingdom. He entrusted the keys of the kingdom to his apostles, in other words, by commissioning them to preach the gospel of salvation. It's that message. It's that word of truth. It's that gospel of salvation that unlocks the door for folks to be able to have their sins forgiven and to be in the presence of God. That's the idea. And so you know that when, after Jesus went to the cross and was raised, message began to be proclaimed on the day of Pentecost. Those same apostles, Peter stands up and preaches that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. What was happening? A door was being opened right there that day. A door was being unlocked and it was being opened. And 3,000 people that day decided to take advantage of that opportunity. And that door, listen, it still stands open today. I think it's good to think of it that way. Lord's always inviting us into His presence. The door is wide open. And the reason He could preach this message on Pentecost is that just weeks prior to this, before Jesus ascended, He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is how He says that. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so then on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches that message. He takes that key and he preaches that message. And the people said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's answer, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 responded. That's what the Lord's doing. That's what Jesus means when he says, I am the way. That's how it's fulfilled, you see. There's this open door to have fellowship with the Father. Let's look at a couple of other examples here. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19, it kind of the point in Hebrews where the writer is coming to a conclusion point and making applications. And so he says, therefore, brethren, therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He's kind of come to that point in the Hebrews letter where he's offering the invitation. Just imagine that the people that heard that read the first time. This is the invitation here. He's saying, since we have confidence to enter into the holy place. He's already explained what that holy place is. It's going into the presence of God in heaven to be in fellowship with Him. And he says he's opened up a new and living way by his death on the cross. That's the invitation. Jesus is our new and living way, you see, by his own flesh, the flesh that he gave for our sins. And then the Apostle Peter puts it another way in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where Peter begins in this section by talking about the things that we ought to be diligent to add to our faith. So add to your faith virtue and moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Add these things. He goes on to say, if you add these things, then you'll be neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. But if you lack these things, then you're short-sighted. So in verse 10, he says, therefore, then be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. He's saying you need to be diligent. Don't give up. You know, keep the course. For in this way, the entrance, see a door here? The entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. The Lord has provided an open door to His Father. That's the greatest open door of all. So here's how I want to conclude. There's another passage there in Revelation chapter 3. Where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Here's an invitation. The question is, what will you and I do with these opportunities God has given us? All these opportunities, but especially the open door to salvation. You think about people who saw that door open to them and they made excuses. There was Felix, the governor, who said, go away until a more convenient time. There was King Agrippa who said, almost in a short time, you will persuade me to become a Christian. The door was open for these men. They declined. So many have opportunities, but they fail to act. But the most important opportunity you and I ever have is the one that we have today. So going back to what I said in the beginning, opportunities are here today. And that's true with the opportunity to have salvation. The Apostle Paul said, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In Revelation chapter 22, at the conclusion, Jesus says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. There's the invitation. The gospel invitation is all about seeing that the Lord has opened a door for us. And it's always open. It's always there for us. to make the decision to come to Him. Even at times when we may have made mistakes and we've gone the wrong way and we've stumbled, the Lord's always there. Like the father of the prodigal son, He's always there to welcome us home and to open that door for us when we return. So that's my lesson for this hour. Thank you for listening today, and I hope we've all been benefited. What a great blessing it is to worship God together and to think about how He's such a great God who provided us with so many things. God will provide, and among the greatest things He has provided are the open doors that He has given us so that we can go the right way. Let's stand and sing and offer an invitation.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus.